We weren't making money off of it. We didn't think there was any future in it, and we were doing it because we loved doing it.
Everything that was wonderful.
And we're off. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, boys and girls. Coming at you, coming straight. How does it start off? Coming at you, live from the International Space Station. How's everybody doing? How you doing, man?
Doing all right.
Just a bunch of ears. If you hadn't known, it's kind of weird, funky to start it because I'm like, I'm talking to the steering wheel because I'm in my car, but yet we're about 30 miles away from each other, which is not too far, according to some people, but it is a little awkward. And if you guys don't know, I am via FaceTime audio.
Satellite?
We're gonna try something a little bit different. Right, satellite. We're gonna try something a little bit different, only because our schedules are a little bit more conflicting. But that's neither here nor there, and I'm sure you guys don't want to listen to my rambling. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in, for giving us another chance. Carlos, you'd like to add anything?
Yeah. So let's get started by talking about the elephant in the room. The big event of last week, the U.S. of A. missing out on Russia, the World Cup 2018. What are your thoughts?
This just isn't USA's year. I mean, we thought 2016 was bad, but this year, I mean, this is just. I don't know how much worse it can get aside from a nuclear war.
I mean,
this is pretty bad.
I guess we kind of lied to ourselves by thinking that once we got Jurgen Klinsmann out, everything would kind of fix itself, and it kind of did for a little while, but then it kind of all just went off the rails really, really quickly.
Right. There's a part of me that was a little glad that this happened to them. I know it sounds sadistic, but I am a little glad because I know how the U.S. Soccer Federation is just, it's not where I like it to be, and I think everyone else can agree, especially certain pundits, that they just need to start from up down, not from the bottom up, it's from the top down. They got rid of the U.S. men's national coach, Bruce Arena. I'm surprised he didn't leave right after the game, but he took a few days for him to think about it, and he resigned.
I mean, what was there to think about? that should have been an immediate decision. Like, fall on your sword, man. The comments he made in the press conference, he said there was nothing wrong with the way the program was going, the soccer program in the United States. I'm like, I mean, it's at least for the past, what you could say, 6 years since Jurgen took over. This has kind of been a nation without an identity, at least soccer-wise. They never really had an identity, and they're trying to create one with Jurgen, but they, in the midst of that, they failed to qualify for two Olympics, had a poor showing at the first Gold Cup, won the last Gold Cup. No, lost the last Gold Cup, right?
Lost the last one.
And now they're not going to Russia. I mean, everybody says, oh, well, it's the MLS and the level of play there. I mean, the MLS has helped out everybody else in the region except the United States. If anything, it's a breeding ground for comfort for the national team players of the U.S. that come back home and play here in a system that doesn't have, you know, promotion, relegation, that you have a mid-table team who has nothing to play for, you know, a little bit past the middle of the season, and they're just, I mean, out there playing for pride. And there's no.
Yeah, it's a problem of mediocrity. It goes back to what I was saying, that the U.S. Federation has this tendency to just kind of, or I'm sorry, MLS has a tendency to just kind of make it fair for everyone. So we don't want too much competition. So we'll bring in the U.S. men's national team stars, and we'll give them millions of dollars, and we'll have them live a comfortable life. That's not a bad thing for a player, but then again, it's not going to get you is, and for any, I'm assuming for any and every professional soccer player, is to advance and to win, to lift a World Cup, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, these guys are, like I said, they're super comfortable, and now their legacies, you could say their legacies are tarnished, because guys like Clint Dempsey, who, if he didn't have this blemish on his career, you'd think, oh, he had a great career. I mean, you still think the guy's going to have a great, he had a great career, but he's also, they're also going to be remembered as the guys who failed to go to this World Cup. That's just going to be a mark on their career, you know, for forever now. I mean, because they're not going to come back.
Right, it's like Alexi Lala said, it's, you have everything at your disposal and you let it fall through your fingers.
Squandered it.
You have everything, you know?
Yeah, it's sad, because now you got young guys like Pulisic, who's a great up-and-coming star, who has to wait 4.5 years to play in the World Cup, who pretty much wasted his first World Cup, was robbed from him, you know?
Right. My question is, was Jurgen right? Did he, like he said, he wanted players to play overseas in the European leagues to excel there. Do you think he was right with that, in that mark, in that remarks he said?
He was right in the sense that the MLS wasn't the place to breed that level of play, to breed that competition. I mean, we've all seen it. So if you want to play playing at the highest level, of course you want to play in Europe. And as much as the MLS is getting better and is growing, it's only helping out everybody else who's, you know, every, you know, Panama.
Yeah, you know, Costa Rica, Trinidad and Tobago.
Honduras, El Salvador, all those players, Jamaica, all those players are having great careers in MLS. And their national teams are benefiting from it, because they have a legitimate league where there's a good competition, and the only teams that it's biting the ass is the U.S. and to a certain extent Mexico too, but I mean, not as bad as it's affecting the U.S. because the Mexican players, still a lot of them still playing Europe.
Yeah, well, yeah, the better ones at this moment, but the ones who've switched over to MLS have kind of dipped in form a little bit.
Yeah, and it goes to show you, the U.S.'s best player is a guy who plays in Europe. So,
right.
I mean, that it speaks for itself.
And he's 19. He's still a teenager.
Yeah, it speaks for itself. I mean, and if nobody else sees that, then it's the blind leading the blind, you know?
Yeah, it's just the blind. And it goes back to what you were saying. Well, U.S. is trying to adopt this culture, but you can't adopt a culture unless you have smaller local teams with a small fan base. And, you know, pro and relegation type of situation. I think that's one way to have a growth in the country. But then again, I mean, let's be honest. Soccer in the U.S. is never going to compete with football. Oh, not never, but not at this moment.
No.
Not now either.
Not at that level.
Baseball, yeah. With even basketball, and, you know, it's always going to be that fourth, fifth, you know, big sport here,
yeah,
you know, but it's number one. Like they kind of always tried to promise, is it's going to be the number one sport in America, and I highly doubt it's going to happen. Unfortunately, in my generation, but who knows? Maybe it'll grow towards the end of my career. You know, it'll start getting bigger. But I hope it does, because I do love this sport, and I do really want it to grow here. Would love. There's nothing more that I want, or I've envisioned a couple times where I'm old, and this I don't know why this always takes place like in England or in Italy,
mm-hmm.
or even in Spain, but I'm an old guy who's going to like a local third division team, watching them play, and it's kind of foggy, but just watching the old lads play, you know, kick the ball around, and
you're really painting a picture there,
right? You know, but it's a team that I follow since I was a child, and that team has been up to second. That team has even been up to first, I remember the days that I followed that team and that and that it the moment I found out that we were going to, you know, to the first division and how, you know, happy and glad I was, you know. But I'm still following them, even though they're at the third division, you know. Yeah. That's a culture that I wish I could have, but it's not going to happen here, you know. And that kind of sucks, but that gives us a reality of where soccer is. And now it's gone backwards, you know. It's gone backwards now because of what happened, and people need to take responsibility for it, especially people up there in the high horse, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And what's it gonna take? I mean, we've already missed, the U.S. has already missed one World Cup. Is it gonna take them missing a second? Like, I mean, right now it's really gonna show what they're willing to do. And what they're willing to sacrifice in order to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, because the pressure's on for the next coach, whoever it is, you know.
I mean, and a guy like Sunil Gulati is going up for re-election right now. And if you re-elect him, if he gets re-elected, then, I mean, are we to expect more of the same? Or is he a guy who can actually bring on some drastic change that's needed?
There's a picture of him. That picture of him, I'm assuming he was watching the game and they blew the final whistle and they had a picture of him. Did you see the picture of him?
No, I didn't see it.
I don't know why I didn't retweet it, but it was pretty funny. But then in a little bit of me was like, yeah, that fucking sucks, dude, because I've been in situations like that where my team has, you know, been kicked out. No. Yeah, he's just sitting there. He looked 10 pounds heavier, maybe 15 pounds heavier. You can see his gut popping out. And he had one arm dangling and the other arm like on his panza. And he's just like, he just looked broken. He's just looking down at the floor.
He's like broken. Dumbfounded, didn't I? I mean, I think that was the feeling across the board. Everybody couldn't believe. I think I did. Everybody did. I think even the players on the field, the U.S. players, thought that at some point, they were just going to catch a break. You know, that eventually they were just, something was going to go their way and everything was going to be fine and they'd be planning their trip to Russia next year.
But like always.
Like always.
They did look sloppy.
Lethargic.
They look like a team that knew they had their ticket already, so they didn't feel like they had a try.
Yeah. Yeah, they played like they were qualified already.
And I would listen to pundits complain about that. And then I would, like, think back, dude, I've seen that. Have they not been watching the same games that I've been watching? Because I've seen them do that all the time. I've always said Dempsey is overrated. As much as he is fucking overrated because the guy looks fucking lazy, and then
he's lazy and mad.
Right, he looks like fucking lazy and mad. He looks like he's too good for the team, you know?
Yeah.
Sure, there's moments that he'll, you know, he'll shine, but
he turns it on.
Right, for the most part, he's like a guy who doesn't even want to even be there, you know. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I do want this to turn around because I am part of the system as well. I have my kid in club team, and that's everyone else's biggest complaint is the pay to play. And hey, man, if because that saved me $130 a month, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's just a club. Alone, that's not including the drives and anything else, any other expenses.
The travel, so, the cleats, the jerseys.
Right. Oh yeah. The league, the fees. The fees are $500-$600. The jerseys. It seems like we have to buy jerseys, new jerseys every year. That's about $250, $300 right there. So they pay to play. If they get rid of that, hallelujah, man, I'm all for it because I know it's a system that doesn't work well. For soccer, you know, it works well in the soccer mom division, but it doesn't work well. I mean, it works well for them, but it doesn't work well if I want these kids to challenge themselves. You know what I mean?
I mean, such a, you know, the big country, and to have a player pool this small. I mean, 350 million people on this in the USA, and you can't find a solid 22 guys, you know, to play on the national team. Like, it's a little embarrassing when you got countries like Belgium, who a country like Belgium, who can fit inside of Texas probably, you know, 4 or 6 times over.
Yeah.
And they have a World Cup aspiring team, you know, with World Cup talent. It's just, and I get it that it's that this player pool is diluted by the other sports, but I mean, so is it. It's the same everywhere else in the world. I don't know. It's like you said, it's something that they're not doing at the very beginning, at that level, at the kids' level. So yeah, that's something that they need to look into to change more of a bigger grassroots movement.
Yeah, they definitely need to do that. They definitely need to scout on this side too, on the West Coast. Because I mean, I've seen that map of the players that they picked up for the U-17, and not one was in California. Which is kind of funny because I can drive around here on a Saturday morning and I would see pickup games left and right. You know, I'm not even bullshitting. Like, I see kids playing in the park. Where people say, the kids need to play in the park, the kids need to play in the street. Dude, I see that shit. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the last generation, not even the last generation, but the last cycle of guys, a lot of them were from the West Coast. You had guys like Landon Donovan and was from Redlands. That third string goalkeeper went to Fohai. I mean, Bocanegra was from Montebello.
I think he was from Altaloma. I think
Altaloma. Yeah, they had a lot of guys that were out from California. You know, based out of California, and California is a big state. I mean, it's a practically a country in its own right, but I mean, to have almost none now, like, what's?
Yeah, I know something's up there. Something's fishy because all of a sudden they don't want to. Maybe they didn't find it, but or maybe they. I don't know. See, just the fact that it's raising questions, or it's adding confusion that there's something wrong there. You know.
Yeah, it's just astounding that there's none on the West Coast. When I mean, right. The U.S. is one of their best player, Landon Donovan, was from, you know, Redlands, California.
Shout out to the Aggie.
Yeah.
I played against him, dude.
Even when, yeah, you played against him. You were on the same fields. I mean,
yeah, I was on the same field.
And it's crazy that they don't, that now there's no one? Like, that didn't breed any other kids wanting to play? That didn't inspire anyone else? Like, nobody else saw him on the field? Like, It's weird to me, you know?
Yeah, it's just business. I guess that's just what it feels like. It's just business, you know?
So I guess now it's what U.S. Soccer is willing to invest in, that, you know, the grassroots movement and the kids and, you know, doing all that going forward.
As well, too, because the coaching also is a big integral part in it. You can't – a lot of coaches – are always thinking for themselves and just rather would ask the question, well, what's in it for me?
Yeah.
Oh, here's these kids, you know, coach this U-13 and coach this U-10. Like, oh, what's in it for me? Well, how much are you going to get paid? Like, you know, I'm not saying all coaches like that because I've run into coaches who are legitimately for the developmental of it. Mm-hmm. But then I'm sure there's also coaches that who just kind of are in it just for the money, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how this plays out. You know, we're apologies for everyone. I know this is a Spanish podcast, or a Spanish league podcast, but this is just something, like you said, we have to address because it
affects everybody.
We witness history, ladies and gentlemen. We were up not all night because it wasn't as late as it was for some of you, maybe some of you, but we witnessed it. You know, we live here, so. It's going to be awkward even for us when we watch the World Cup on television and we don't see the U.S. there. You know, it's going to be weird for us. Like, so.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Mexican fans are dual fans, you know. I mean, there's a reason you watch the national team, the U.S. national team on TV. And, you know, they call them el equipo de todos, you know, everybody's team because everybody's here. So to... this is the first World Cup in my lifetime where they're not going to be there, so it is going to be a little weird.
Because it's the first cup in our lifetime where they're not going to be there, and it's going to feel a little bit weird. I guess what we're trying to do is trying to sell the Mexican team to all your gringos out there who need a team, go ahead and jump on board. Look, I'll be honest. I don't have much faith in the Mexican team as well, but hey, we're in it. You know what I mean? You guys want to jump on board? Go for it.
Yeah, I guess if you're looking for another CONCACAF team to follow, there you go. It's either Mexico or Costa Rica, the two powerhouses coming out of CONCACAF.
Yeah, you can't exclude other small teams like even Panama. Panama's always been like that. Honduras and El Salvador have always been like the dirtiest teams, but hey, they get the job done, you know.
Yeah, well, Honduras still has to go to that playoff, so they're not completely in yet.
Oh, right, they do, huh? So. All right, so everything else? So we move on to
Let's move on.
So, Friday, what do we have? I didn't really watch too much of it. I was like super, super, super busy, but I did catch the a little bit of the Madrid, and I did catch the Barca. I catched a little bit of the Valencia as well.
That Valencia Real Betis game was a fucking thriller, man. That was the game of the week.
Yes, it was, and I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I watched some of it because it was. Valencia is that team, you know, is that team right now. Is that little, has it got that extra oomph in them?
It's the dark horse, man. They're the dark horse. I mean, just to think, like, a season and a half ago, they're being coached by what's-his-face, that,
the bald dude? What's his name?
The English guy for the pundit.
The
commentator. Neville.
Gary Neville,
sorry. Gary Neville, yeah. Yeah, and they were, like, almost relegated. You know?
Yeah.
That was only like a season and a half ago. They got their ass kicked by Barcelona like 7-0. It was... And now, I mean, it goes to show how good a real coach does. Like Marcelino, you know?
Yeah, and then they're playing... honestly, they're playing really, really beautiful. And their counterattacks are up there.
And it's all the same players. You know?
Right, it's all the exact same players.
The exact same players. So it's just, a new coach. That's all they really needed. And I'm pretty sure Peter Lim's kicking himself in the ass for not having just gone for a good coach since the get-go.
Does he still have the team? Oh, he doesn't.
Yeah, he still owns it.
He
actually just made a good decision and got a good coach. I mean, it took him almost getting relegated, but...
Yeah, but it was a 8-goal thriller.
Yeah.
So 6-3 for Valencia.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'll jump Friday really quick. What was Friday? Espanyol Levante, right?
Yeah, 0-0.
Snoozefest. After that, Atlético Bilbao and Sevilla 1-0. What's up with Sevilla?
I don't know. They don't have a real striker. I mean, I think I said this before, but they have Ben Yedder. And, like, I can't remember the other kid's name, but, I mean, they lost all their strikers. I mean, Gramero was there, and he's at Atletico. And Vitolo left. He's at Las Palmas and is going to Atletico in January. So they don't have any real strikers besides Ben Yedder, which is a small French dude who's he's decent, but he's not something you can build a whole team behind.
Yeah, they're not that far down on the table, but how many losses have been so far? And then they lose today in the Champions League as well.
They got their ass kicked. Yeah, and they got Valencia this weekend coming up. So
yeah, and they have Valencia. So
I mean, yeah, coach might be on his way out.
They're in the midst of some sort of crisis, so hopefully it turns around for them. I really do like Sevilla. I like that team.
Because, I mean, they brought guys back like, you know, Jesus Navas and Nolito's there. So,
yeah. Venega's still there.
Yeah, Venega's still there.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of bewildering what's going on over there, you know?
Yeah, so, all right. So it was 1-0, I think, with Val. After that was the Madrid one, the Getafe one. Speaking of crisis, even though they got the W, it's a poor performance for Madrid. What's going on with them, too?
They barely get by. I mean, Ronaldo scored his first goal to win against Getafe. You know, like, oh, the great win against the great Getafe.
That's their fucking neighbors, dude.
Yeah. I mean, just promoted Getafe, and they barely beat them. So, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, like everybody said last year, Zidane had a little bit of luck with everything he was doing. Everything was kind of going his way, and now it's not.
You think luck had to do with his success?
No, not the whole success, but I mean, I think it's a combination of things. Like
those are the same players.
It's the same players, but they also lost a lot of players. You know, like now there's no Alvaro Morata to come in and help when Benzema's hurt. He's been hurt pretty much this whole season until this Champions League game. And now, and they lost the guy Pepe in the back, you know. So, and they also lost the fucking their left back has been hurt with that heart problem. I mean, Marcelo was hurt too, and then he was suspended for a couple games. I mean, they've just had, you know, a lot of issues really, really fast. That's cost them 7 points in the league. So. He's just, you know, I mean, can he steady the ship? Yeah, will he? Probably, but it's not going to be as pretty as it was last year.
Champions League as well, too.
It was 1-1.
1-1, and at home, too.
Yeah, at the Bernabeu. I mean, even a guy like James, you know, having guys like James Rodriguez and fucking Alvaro Morata coming off the bench makes a big difference. And now they don't have anybody to come off the bench like that. Yeah, they have Asensio, you know, but when he comes on, he's either really, really good or really, really bad. He's either, you know, it's one extreme to the other. He either has a great game or he has a mediocre game where he's just on the field passing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to be that kind of season. I mean, but it's Madrid, so they could always just turn it on at the, you know, in the second part of the season and win everything, which is the risk with them.
Yeah, then they would make everyone else forget about what the first half of the season was too. So we'll see how they they'll do after that. It was Alaves and Real Sociedad. Another snooze fest, I guess. 2-0.
Yeah.
Shout out to Boyan, though.
Hanging
in there.
Boyan and Munir on the same team. Yeah. It's like the old Boyan and the new Boyan.
No shit.
Yeah. But I like Boyan a little more. I just feel bad for him. Yeah, I just felt bad about how they did Boyan. He deserved better. He deserved more.
He could have took up to second division. Or he could have took up to the neighboring city, Espanol or something.
Yeah, or you could even play for Girona now.
Yeah.
It's right down the street.
after that, damn it. I think his air quality with the smoke and everything is fucking my lungs up.
Yeah.
I have like a smoker's lung or something.
It's that lifestyle you live, man.
Yeah, because I went running and maybe that's the air quality, I don't know.
Saw those fumes you're taking in.
It's all the ranches around here, fucking Fontana, all the horses and all the horse shit and all that. after that, we had Atletico Madrid and Barca. I did catch that one. I wish I didn't catch it, but I watched it.
I mean, it was a good game, but it was just kind of what you expected from that kind of game. You know, like you just. Especially,
it was too cagey. I didn't like it.
But especially,
I mean, it was okay, but it was a little too cagey. Yeah.
But especially coming off of FIFA break, you know, you knew it wasn't gonna be them performing at their peak only because of that, because it was coming off the international break, Messi having a crazy game on Tuesday night, then flying back to Barcelona to play on Saturday night. Like, man, that's, talk about jet lagged.
What's up with the Rakitic? What's going on with him?
He had a good game. I thought he had an alright game.
I had a couple of missteps here and there. he's kind of another one of those players where he's on. When he's off, he's off.
And it's just crazy because, like, if you remember that first season under Luis Enrique when they won everything, he was just on all the time. Like, what happened to that?
You know? Yeah. Maybe we got spoiled because of that.
Yeah, he was just good every day, every game. Great. Never stopped.
Yeah. We had already decided far into that season that he is the replacement for
Yeah. Well, now you hear the rumor is Thiago Alcantara might be coming back. I mean, that'd be the prodigal son returns.
Prodigal son returns. But then again, that's what we said about Cesc.
Yeah,
I never wanted Thiago to leave. But the only thing that gets me concerned is his constant injuries. I know Iniesta has those injuries, but the guy's old. So I wouldn't say old because he's like a year younger than me, but or 2 years younger.
He's like my age.
He's like my age.
That's why I don't call those guys old anymore. I used to be like, oh man, he's old. But I'm like, no, wait, that's how old you are. So do not say that anymore.
Yeah, that's how I had to catch myself. But yeah, that's the only thing that causes concern is the injuries. One plus, though, he's going to be with his bro, you know what I mean?
Which is even more injury-prone. Rafinha spends half most of the season in the fucking doctor and shit.
Right, so I can't have both brothers injured. It's got to be one or the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Thiago is the way to go. Sell Rafinha and bring back Thiago.
I never wanted him to leave, and I do believe the guy has just amazing skill, you know.
I mean, at one point, Barcelona had an excess of midfielders. You had guys, you know, you had Xavi, Iniesta, and then you had guys like Thiago and Cesc on the bench, you know, and Sergio Roberto waiting in the wings, and, you know, so on and so forth.
We had too many midfielders at one point.
We went from too many to none to...
To none.
To not even enough to, let's bring in Verratti. But
yeah,
it was
all right. So not too bad. 1-1. did you real quick? Did you catch the game today? The Man City and Napoli game.
I saw like 12 minutes in where they scored like two goals, and then I was like, oh well, this game's over. And I think I watched like a little more, and then I did something else. Continue to live my life.
Continue your life. That was a great game, man. Fucking shout out to Napoli. Napoli, if they go over this hump, Man City hump, Man City is on another level right now. But if they go over this, I see as contenders for Champions League, man. They're really good. They have a different style of playing, which is like really impressive. The way they play. Very entertaining.
I hope they get somebody like PSG in the next and knockout stages so they could just take PSG out and get that storyline out of the way already, you know, because that's what everybody's building up is PSG because they got Neymar, so they're expected to win the Champions League.
If they get PSG, right now, the way I watched them play earlier, if they catch PSG, I can guarantee you Napoli is going to beat them. That's how good they are.
Yeah.
You know, that's how good this Napoli is. They're very, very good. They look very good.
But see, Napoli is one of those teams who they look good. They've had seasons where they look really, really good. But then they go up against big teams and they get destroyed. Like, remember they were up like 4 goals on Chelsea like 4 seasons ago in the Champions League, and then the second leg came around and Chelsea beat them, like had a historic comeback, and then went on to win the Champions League. And I was like I was hanging my hat and my hopes on Napoli eliminating Chelsea, and they couldn't even do that when they were 4 goals up.
You were right there. Yeah, it seems like all these other these small, ferocious teams. I wouldn't call them small, but compared to the big teams, the billion-dollar teams, Dortmund, Napoli, I mean, you could throw in even Sevilla at times, and these small teams, you think, come on, guys, you guys can do it. You know, we're trying to do that hero's journey. We're trying to get that Rocky and Drago storyline, and then they get their ass kicked. Yeah, that's the only thing that causes for concern, so...
They fall flat on their ass, and you're just like, why? Why?
I'll tell you what, though, because Man City is on a good wave right now, and they did they did give Man City some trouble, but I think at the end of the day, Man City had more control of the game. Even though some might say otherwise, I think they had control. I think they couldn't get the best of Pep Guardiola and the boys.
Yeah, that guy Pep, he knows what he's doing, huh?
Yeah, like that guy Pep, yeah. He's a hero of mine. Any team he goes to, I'm going to follow. He's a role model.
Well, I mean, you can just look at Munich, for example. Like, everybody's like, oh, he took them to the fastest league in history. He did everything else except win them a Champions League. And everybody thought it was a failure because he didn't do that. And then comes in Ancelotti and literally does nothing and gets fired.
Like, totally does nothing, yeah, and gets fired, yeah.
And they're like, oh, shit, this wasn't so easy. That guy just made it look super easy.
Yeah, I wonder how he feels now.
Yeah.
Vindicated.
Sorry.
I know he had a... When he found out that Ancelotti got stacked, I know he had a no-pass party.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. All right, it was cause for celebration.
Yeah. All right, anyways, back to our La Liga. Eibar, Deportivo, Snooze Fest.
Snooze Fest. Nope.
0-0, and then Girona and Villarreal, 2-1.
2-1, Pocambo with the brace. Right?
How many goals did he have this season?
I don't know. That guy's like on and off. Cedric Pocambo, but he's... But, I mean, they got a great striking duo now. You know, they got Bukambu and Carlos Bacca. They got him on loan from Milan. So, once they get going, I feel like the goals are going to come. Yeah?
Yeah, that's another good team that I've always kind of been a small fan of, you know.
The Yellow Submarine. And now they got a new coach. So, I'm not sure who it is, but I know they got another coach because they fired the last one.
When did they fire him?
I think like 2 weeks ago. Or right before, or right after the international break?
Yeah, their coach is, what's his name? Javier Calleja? Calleja.
Okay. He must have been, I'm not familiar with him, so. But yeah, they just fired the other guy.
So. Yeah, that guy's cool, you know, whatever. after that, we had Malaga and Leganés. What's wrong with Malaga?
That guy, Michelle came and steadied the ship last season, at the end of last season, to keep Malaga from going down, and now he can't seem to find any answers. But then again, I think it's like I said in the last pod, they sold all their good players. You know, they sold Sandro, who was scoring all the goals, and I think they sold one other guy. So I mean, they didn't buy anybody. Malaga is like the only teams who got bought out by like an oil guy. That has no money though. So it's weird. Cause he doesn't buy any players.
I know, what the fuck? He's like a greedy money guy or oil guy.
Yeah, like he has all the other oil guys spend their money wisely, or not spend it wisely, but they just dump money into their teams and they wanna win. But this guy's just like, nah, as long as we survive, we're alright.
So what's the point of him buying it? He's not going to spend.
I don't know, man. Because that first season when he did buy him, they spent a gang of money. I mean, they had that team that went to the semifinals of the Champions League.
Oh, yeah.
But and they brought in Pellegrini to coach him. But after that, they didn't do much. Ooh, Pellegrini. Pellegrini for U.S. men's national team head coach. What about that? He's not working right now.
What is he doing right now?
I don't know. He's been gone for a while.
Tending to his flowers.
Probably.
Tending to his garden.
Tall guys like that probably, I feel like they, I could see him, you know, gardening with his little rake and apron on and everything.
It keeps his mind clean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, keeps him zen.
I wouldn't be mad at that, but a part of me would rather have him go to Mexico instead.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, you're right. We deserve him.
Yeah, we deserve him.
The U.S. needs to start fresh with the...
You guys can have... There's rumors going around of trying to, you know, building up some rumors to get certain coaches, and Osorio was in there. I was like, all right.
Hey, that sounds good to me.
Go ahead.
Let's ship him over. He's a big MLS guy, so.
Isn't it funny how it is? Like the guy has like a nearly perfect record, but we still want him out of here. We're so brutal, huh?
Well, because every big team he faced, he didn't have a good showing against.
Right.
Like, yeah, he was good in CONCACAF, and I get it. For some nations, CONCACAF's hard, but Mexico got to pretty much down. And then, but he couldn't turn it on against the Chiles or the Germanys or...
Germanys.
Or, you know, the big teams of the world. Then those are the teams you're going to face in the knockout stages of the World Cup or even in the group stages. So what do you expect to do then?
Right. What are you going to play? You're going to play like the exact same way you play against fucking El Salvador and try to compete with Spain? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to get destroyed. And I think we all see it coming. Everybody sees it coming except the Mexican Federation. And you know what? I want to be wrong. I want Mexico to go down there and make it to like the quarterfinals, maybe even the semis or something. Like, that would be great. But being realistic with this coach and his history, like, no. They're going to do exact same thing. They're going to get out of the group, like always, and they're going to get knocked out in the first round. You know, and they're going to call it a good World Cup, too. They're going to be happy about it. Yeah, they're going to be satisfied.
Story of Mexico's life.
Yeah, it's going to be all right. Moving on to the next World Cup. So we can do it all over again.
Yeah, so... I think
we
heard everything already. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's it. And we're 40 minutes in already, too, so...
That's not too bad. I only have, like, an hour of battery life in this space station.
So you're running out of oxygen?
I don't want it to just completely shut off and I'm out there like Sandra Bullock or like in Gravity or some shit.
You watch that Matt Damon movie, start taking shits and planning making potatoes, man.
Start making potatoes out of my shits.
Yeah. You gotta survive.
I think that's it. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for supporting us, I guess. Yeah. If you continue to listen. Thank you guys for giving us a chance. And, you know, your patience, you know what I mean? Above all, your patience. We love them.
And we'll see you next week, and the audio will be better next week. So, until next time.
Adios.
Bye.